We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Chevalier Mortgage. You can call Virginia directly at 303-257-6578 or visit dnvrmortgage.com, where you can get signed up for a free consultation and to discuss all of your options, as well as get free DNVR merch. Check it out today. I'm sure you've heard about the great mortgage rates out there right now, but Mike and Virginia are not your typical mortgage company. Yes, they do have the phenomenal rates, but what makes them different is that Mike is a certified financial planner and looks at so much more than just rate when designing your home loan. Plus, they're a small family-owned company, just like us here at DNVR, so you'll always feel like a person and not a number. Again, head on over to dnvrmortgage.com and check them out today.
Welcome in to the DNVR Avalanche Podcast, presented by DraftKings Sportsbook, the number one rated sportsbook app out there. Use code DNVR when you sign up for a new account to get amazing odds boosts. I'm your host, Rudo, joined by AJ Hafley to talk to you about, well, I guess a couple of different draft things out there, both expansion and standard entry draft. Overall, the Avs are... You know, these things are becoming less and less of a factor, I think, in the Avs' future, and more of a you end up where you end up in the entry draft, and you are going to lose a guy in the expansion draft just like everybody else. Pretty straightforward, I think. There's not a whole lot of complicated factors.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the Avalanche, it's just... the Eric Johnson question mark.
Yeah, that's... I don't even consider that a question mark, honestly.
I mean, I think it has to be a question mark because he is... You're not allowed to buy out injured players without their permission.
Sure.
And they need they basically need his go-ahead to do that if he's not healthy. They can't just cut him loose. If he was healthy, they have all the leverage. They say buy him, we're gonna buy you out, or you're gonna waive your no movement clause. But if he's hurt, he has a little bit of power here. He can just say no. And then Colorado's going to be in trouble because then Taves is unprotected.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely an issue there, but at the same coin, if he is hurt, there's no reason for him not to waive.
I mean, I think between financial incentives, the financial incentive alone,
right,
is enough for him to not waive it. So I think that he is. There's, you know, and he probably doesn't want to go anywhere.
I'm sure he doesn't. Yeah.
So I think at this point, like it makes the most sense for him to waive and to work with it. It makes no sense for Seattle to target him at all.
Yep. Agreed.
So they, you know, but this remains easy to me. They ask him to waive. He says, sure.
Yep.
And then, you know, we go from there.
And then you protect Taves and your defense is easy if he waives. Yes,
exactly. So.
So that side of it's easy. The forward side, you're really only talking about the sixth and seventh spots.
Well, let's talk about the forwards because I think there's a couple of easy spots here.
Right.
There are three easy spots.
Those three are a joke.
let's say there are probably five easy spots. It's your Landeskog, McKinnon, Rantanen, Kadri, and Burakovsky.
Yep.
Now, Landeskog is a pending UFA, doesn't necessarily have to be protected, but not protecting him.
Why leave the door open?
Exactly. That it just opens it up. Saad as a pending UFA, you don't protect. Because you do take that chance. You're totally, if they take him, you live with it.
There's a very real possibility that you lose him anyway. So
yeah. So that's whatever. Like if they take him, that's, you're almost kind of laughing about it because you're just like, all right, well, they get a good player, but that's a guy that we were not going to be able to bring back anyways. So this is fine.
Yep.
Exactly. And then That gives you two spots to protect. Two more forward spots to protect.
Out of Donskoy, Nichushkin, Jost, and Compher are your realistic options to go into those two spots.
Because you're not protecting Logan O'Connor.
Right.
You're just not. Like, if Seattle takes Logan O'Connor, you're fine with it. Like, you're sad that you're losing out on a guy who would be a very easy plug and play fourth line player for you, but that's a fourth line player. Like you're not. He is not going to give you William Karlsson.
You haven't missed out on a ton of upside by losing that guy.
Yeah, he is not going to come back to haunt you. He's going to go and he's going to do like what Will Carrier has done in Vegas. You know, but. Does Buffalo miss him? Sure. Is that what's wrong with them?
No. Buffalo's got a lot of problems, but
yeah. But that's kind of what I mean though, is that it's if they take Logan O'Connor, you're sad about it because like that's a guy that you, that's a scouting win for you. That was a guy that you didn't draft, but you brought in. Jumped into pro hockey and has been good for you immediately and has proven like he's ready for the NHL.
Yep.
So that's, I want to remove the Logan O'Connor factor from this conversation immediately. You don't protect him. If he gets taken, you're okay with that.
Yeah. 100%. Definitely a non-issue there. The rest of the fourth line Belmar and Calvert are UFAs, so you don't worry about them either.
Those guys are UFAs that you're probably not bringing back anyway. I could totally see them bringing back Belmar in a one-year deal for $1 million, but I'm not going to entertain that universe right now.
And that's likely a decision you don't make until after the expansion.
Oh yeah, there's no reason to protect any of those guys. You just let it go. So, two spots, four guys.
Yep.
I think the easiest one here is Val Nichushkin.
I mean, I'd say the opposite. I think the easiest one not to protect is JT Compher.
I think the easiest one to protect is Valmachushkin. Right. Yeah. So let's start with Nuke, because I think this is a pretty quick conversation.
Yeah, there's not going to be a deep one here.
Yeah, he'll have 1 year, $2.5 million. This says fourth liner, but we know that he's essentially a third liner in Colorado.
Yep.
His offense has been good enough. It's fine. This is a mess. I mean, for other teams, right? Like this guy just destroys.
Yep. The offense ceases to exist for other hockey teams when he steps onto the ice. Like,
yeah.
It's actually
this is incredible. Yeah. To look at this.
The defensive impact is just ridiculous.
And look at how much play gets driven.
Yep.
Like that's almost McKinnon-esque in offensive driving.
Yeah, I every single fancy stat there is, you look at Nichushkin and you go, oh, how is this dude not insane? But
yeah, he is insane.
Yep. Defensively, at very least, it's completely absurd what this guy accomplishes.
Yeah, and so for a year at $2.5 million, dude, you just protect that cat.
Yep.
So now we've got six forwards. Now we're down to three guys. You got JT Compher, Jonas Donskoy, and Tyson Jost.
Yep.
And I think JT Compher is the popular answer this year.
To leave exposed.
Yes.
Okay.
So this is Compher. It's kind of some of the same stuff here. Doesn't drive a lot of play, is going to be one of the worst analytics players on the Avs.
Yep.
Defensively is very good, though, and doesn't take very many penalties. Plays on the PK, not particularly well, but plays on the PK. The suppression here is good. The driving of play is bad, and we have seen he is better on the wing than at center most of this. The majority of his ice time is at center, so most of his impacts and all that are still at center.
Well, yeah, and then you can see.
You can see Major here.
Significantly better without him.
Yeah, exactly. This is when he's on the ice, they just don't generate the same level of offense. Defensively, they're still, suppression wise, they're still good, though.
Right. And that's great. And the problem,
like negative 26 to negative 20, it's a negligible difference.
Right. It's still, look at the shots that the Avs yeah. up when Compher's on the ice. It's all to the perimeter.
Right. Like, oh, there's more towards the center of the ice, but it's 25 feet out.
Yeah. So, look, not taking anything away from Compher, still definitely an effective hockey player. The thing is, even if he was having a normal year, he's still someone the Avs would be looking at exposing.
Yep. 100%.
In part because of the $3.5 million deal he's on, in part because I think he's the most replaceable player of the bunch right now for the Avs.
Yep.
It's just things have lined up with guys like Alex Newhook coming to where Compher becomes extremely replaceable.
Yep. And even if you look, to be honest, Compher started the year as the third line center.
Yep.
He's lost that job to Tyson Jost.
Yeah. Straight up.
For the time being, Tyson Jost has taken that job. And if you project next year, if they lose Belmar and Tyson Jost stays, you could put Tyson Jost as your 4C, where he'd probably be a little more of an appropriate fit. And this is where you get Alex Newhook's feet wet as your 3C.
Yep. If you listen to this podcast, you know I'm much more of a fan of playing Newhook at 3C over the wing, if possible. But
I would agree with you. It would be my preference as well. But Nuuk presents them with a lot of opportunities so that they can fill in holes kind of where they have them, where they crop up.
For sure. And you don't not play him up in the lineup if he has an opportunity to do so at wing. But it again, it's just the flexibility there makes Comfer, I think, somewhat expendable. Where this conversation, I think, gets interesting is less with Jost and more with Donskoy compared to Comfer, because yes, Donskoy is having a career year. The dude is still shooting like 25% or something absurd this year. So he's scoring at a pace that we've never seen before. And realistically, that's not that sustainable.
Well, and this is where you look in his career, like as an analytics type of player.
Yeah.
In Colorado, it has not gone that way. He has been productive, but he has not been
very much a.
Things that he does well,
and driving play isn't really one of them.
Exactly, and defensively is certainly not one of them. He's not good defensively.
A defensive player in Colorado, it's not good.
Yeah. So, and he doesn't really do. He doesn't. You know, he's. He's chipped in on the power play this year because he's been hot, and Colorado's always looking for that extra right-handed guy to put in front of the net.
Yep.
And like he's taken that spot. So when you dig deeper into the Donskoy stuff, it gets more interesting than just these numbers. We'll show you. The offense actually looks pretty good. Like the offense they are generating more offense with him on the ice. Okay, that's great. You know, defensively, it's still a problem.
Yeah, it's the question is how meaningful, one, is Donskoy's offensive generation, and two, how sustainable is it?
Right.
And I do think it's pretty darn meaningful right now, but you can't expect him to keep it up, at least not at the rate that he has been scoring at.
Yeah.
So
you're not expecting him to have, like, he's having the career year right now. He had a career year last year in Colorado. Like, at $3.9 million, you value that he gives you that little extra scoring punch, especially because Jost and Nichushkin are so hit or miss offensively.
Right.
Especially because, you know, your fourth line is your fourth line. So Donskoy is very valuable in that regard.
Right.
And but as Dario says, here's this conversation. This is as good as it could get for him.
You can't expect him to match this year's production, but you can expect him for the rest of this contract that he's on to give you a surefire lock for 35 points a year on your third line. Plus, you know, maybe he plays up a little bit, but
based on injury, yeah, you would expect he's your fill-in. He's your top six fill-in.
Yeah. So the question is, how replaceable is that role? And you could make an argument for it. Maybe Nuuk can play up in the lineup. Maybe Kaut can be a consistent force for you on the third line. You know, maybe they go out and get someone else, but the price difference right now between JT Comfer and Jonas Donskoy is $400K per year. And yeah. Donskoy is certainly earning it, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah, I think ideally, I'm protecting, look, if it's me, I'm protecting Nichushkin and I'm protecting Jost. And I am protecting the two cheaper guys.
Yep. I do want to get into this conversation. We do have to take our first period break first, though, as we are brought to you by Breckenridge Brewery, the official beer of DNVR, also the official seltzer of DNVR. You can grab their 15-can sampler pack today. Bunch of amazing flavors in there. Use the Breck Beer Locator online to find it near you. You can always head down to the DNVR bar as well to get some Breck Brew on tap. And brought to you by DraftKings Sportsbook. They have amazing 100-to-1 odds boost on the Masters coming up. Jump on it. The tournament starts Thursday. You pick any golfer to finish in the top 10, and you get 100-to-1 odds on that bad boy. Use code DNVR when you sign up to get that amazing odds boost. Check them out today. They have a bunch of other options, odds boosts for all kinds of crazy different sports. Did check last night. Unfortunately, no bikini robot racing, but, you know, pretty close. Just about every other sport under the
sun. It was my night off.
Okay, I see. Anyway, yeah, go on over to DraftKings Sportsbook. Check out all their amazing odds boosts. You can download their Sportsbook app today and use code DNVR when you sign up to get that 1-to-100 odds. It's awesome. Get the DNVR code. Also lets them know that we sent you over there, so be sure to use it. Must be 21 or older, Colorado only. Other terms, restrictions, conditions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And, of course, can never let you not know about us here at DNVR. If you haven't signed up now's a great time to get an annual sub because you get a free shirt, you get all of our amazing content, and you can even get a holistic wellness stick as well. We love our CBD products over here. AJ on the gummies all the time. You know how it goes.
All the time is not accurate.
It's all the times that you get a migraine.
Okay, that's accurate.
So there you go. Anytime you get a migraine, the CBD can help you out big time. The holistic wellness stick is one way to do that. You get a free one when you sign up for an annual sub, and they'll send you 10 milligram packs of CBD as well. You can go over to holisticwellness.com to check them out. And for your first purchase, you get 30% off by using code DNVR30. All right, let's get into this Tyson Jost conversation. Because, first of all, the obvious part is he's not even making 900K.
Yeah, that will probably change.
He's going to make more. The question is how much.
Yeah.
And the finishing this year, the offensive impact, at least as far as production is concerned, has not really taken a significant uptick, even with the couple of points he started picking up.
It's the same stuff.
Yep. So that
P.S. these player cards from J Fresh Hockey are amazing.
Yeah, they're great. They really are.
If you wanted to dig into this stuff on your own, he has a $5 Patreon that you should check out.
So shout out J Fresh. Jost's impact clearly comes on the defensive end, where he's maybe not quite Nichushkin, but developing into a high-end depth defensive forward.
Yep. And the driving of play that when you look at Jost versus Compher, this is what you see as the major difference, is there's some actual driving of play going on.
Yep. As we love to talk about, the process for Tyson Jost is always solid.
Yeah.
So there's definitely good things to draw on there, at least when it comes to advanced analytics and things like that.
Yeah, you know, he may not be able to get to Nichushkin's 2x2.5, but as long as the offense continues a little bit this year and he gets into that neighborhood of scoring, he has a really strong chance. So, to answer Didi's question here about Donskoy having back-to-back career years in Colorado and saying it's not sustainable, he's shooting like 30%, bro.
Yep.
That's going to come down.
Already come down a touch.
Like, it's and he's a guy that he did the same thing last year. He had that really, really hot streak at the start of the season, culminating with a hat trick against Nashville, and then did not score a goal for like 25 games.
Honestly, last year wasn't even really a career year. Yes, he set a career high in goals.
Yeah.
With that's a little bit of a different role.
And like the season ending early is probably what cost him a little bit, but he also had the concussion issues, and there were a myriad of issues that he had last year This year, he's just shooting out of his mind.
Yeah. Donskoy's career shooting percentage is 12.4.
And his two highest shooting seasons have been these two in Colorado. Yeah.
14.4 last year and currently shooting 27.3.
Yeah.
So there's no universe where the shooting percentage this year is sustainable.
Yeah. It's just not realistic to expect that Donskoy continues to produce like this. He will continue to produce
at a fine pace.
He will continue to be like a valuable and solid middle six player. That's his appeal to Colorado too. That's not the problem. It's the $3.9 million.
Right.
If they're gonna pay $3.9 million, they're gonna get 35 points.
Realistic expectation
from Jonas Donskoy. If they move him out, and they instead bring in a Martin Kaut, maybe that's where Alex Newhook fits. Is a middle six job there? Okay, then you're also expecting 30-ish points. You're expecting 30 to 35 points from whichever guy that is. And they're on an ELC, so they're doing it for a fourth of the price. So that's the entire reason that we have Donskoy in this conversation at all. If they did not have guys that were ready to jump into NHL jobs and start to produce right off the hop, protecting Donskoy would be of a higher importance. It's why we're instead saying the focus on protecting your two specialists, Nichushkin and Jost. That's the higher priority. They're cheaper and they give you elite defensive metrics. And as a very good defensive team, there you go. You're muted.
Thank you. It's an interesting question right now, because what is more replaceable for the Avs? And there's an argument that it's the elite defensive play that is harder to replace for them.
Yep. Because you can go out and you can find Jonas Donskoy types kind of out.
Really.
Yeah, they're sort of out in the wild all the time. Especially this summer, where there will be, because of the cap crunch, there will be a myriad of these middle six forwards just sort of sitting around looking for deals.
Look, Vladimir took a $2 million deal last year.
Mikael Granlund and Mike Hoffman and Eric Howla and a number of other guys waited until training camp started to get deals.
Yep.
It's just not going to be very hard to find that kind of a replacement.
Yep.
Like, Donskoy is a good, solid player. They just won't have to work very hard if they want to replace them.
Yeah. That's the reality of the NHL. Is Donskoy is just another dude that made it into the middle of someone's lineup.
EJ should be open to waiving. I don't know that he officially is or is not open to waiving his no movement clause, but he 100% should be. And we've assumed from day one of this conversation that he would be. Especially if injury is involved, he's gonna lose too much money if he doesn't. Why would you just throw away $4 million?
There is almost no benefit to him not waiving.
Yeah, him waiving means, one, he gets to stay in Colorado, and two, he doesn't have to make up any of the money that he loses on his contract.
Yep.
And with him essentially missing this entire year,
there's no chance Seattle has any interest in him.
Yeah. And why don't you leave a UFA open if they have a handshake deal in place? Because that's when you get cute, you fuck around, and you find out. That's when you decide to leave Landeskog open and say, oh, well, we've got a handshake agreement with him that will come to an extension after this. Seattle takes him anyway, offers him an extra year, an extra $1.5 million.
You find out how loyal he really
Guess
is.
Guess what? Then.
Yeah.
You fucked around and found out. So instead, you just don't take that chance. You just protect him. You do everything you can to let that guy get to the open market.
And from the Avs point of view, let's say Seattle's interested in EJ. It's going to be significantly cheaper on what you'd have to give to Seattle to protect EJ as an exposed guy over protecting Taves right now. Because Seattle would basically tell you to screw off if Taves was available. We're taking him no matter what.
Yeah, because Seattle would just be like, well, Taves is exactly the kind of guy we want to build around.
Yeah.
He's proven that he's a top pairing defenseman this year in Colorado. He's signed for 3 more years at $4 million. What are we doing here?
Yep. It'd be an easy slam dunk for them to take Taves. So you're obviously protecting Gerard.
This conversation about injury exemption, it might apply to Oscar Klefbom, but it wouldn't apply to Eric Johnson because Eric Johnson played games this year. So he misses the first week or so of the season because he has COVID, right? Then he comes back and he plays in a handful of games. Not nearly enough, for my liking, and then gets hurt. The injury exemption would not apply to him.
I think people are mixing up the exemption with the requirements of what you have to expose, because you do have to expose a defenseman that has played at least, I believe it's 40 games. It might be 60, but it's irrelevant because the Avs will be exposing Ryan Graves anyway. So
yeah,
they meet that requirement.
They're fine there. This injury exemption stuff, like, I'm not sure what Klefbom's situation is. I know he's missing this season. But EJ's injury could be career threatening, but we won't know that until way later. The expansion draft will have long happened by the time we would find out something like that.
Yep.
So Eric Johnson's not going to be injury exempt, barring a serious change in what they're doing.
And
the fact that he played games this year removes that element.
And it's not like, if he is that seriously injured, like, Seattle's going to do their research and they just won't take that guy. Like,
yeah,
it's a non-issue.
If you want to learn about buyouts, go to Cap Friendly.
Yep.
And there's literally a buyout FAQ that you can look up and dig into.
You can use their buyout tool and figure it out. Just buy out whoever you want.
Yeah, you can buy out all kinds of guys. Just look at how crazy these
some of these buyouts would be.
Yeah. At some point, Brandon, the Kauten Bowers, if they're not in their plans, they have to make they still have to make choices to replace those spots.
Yep.
And if they don't include Kauten Bowers, then they don't include them. If they don't include those guys, then they will find guys on similar cheap contracts to do.
Reality of Kaut's future, at very least, maybe Bowers, maybe not, is we'll find out this offseason. If the Avs go out and get 3 bottom 6 dudes, it's going to be tough for Kaut.
Yeah.
If the Avs get 1, maybe 2, you're feeling good about Kaut making the lineup.
I mean, hell, even if they re-sign a Belmar or a Calvert, it's a pretty big red flag, too.
It is.
All of those guys, really.
Well, I don't disagree. Like, even signing 1 is super concerning for someone like Bowers, especially with the expectation that Newhook is going to make the lineup next year.
Yeah.
But, man, on a personal note, I would be extremely disappointed if Kaut doesn't have the inside line to a lineup spot next year. But
dude, what more does he need to do?
Right.
Like, at least with Bowers, you can kind of pick apart some of the stuff. Yep. But what more does the guy, more does Kaut specifically need to do? It's ridiculous.
Yep.
There's not a rush to get Bowers to the NHL. It's just that first round picks don't take 4 years to get to the NHL.
Especially first round picks that proved last year they were ready for the job.
But yeah. I mean, everybody wants to look at Shane Bowers' points as evidence that he's not ready or whatever, that he can't use more AHL time. And it's just it's an idiotic way to gauge Shane Bowers' game, because it's just never been.
If you're judging Shane Bowers' NHL readiness on points, then you have to agree that the Avs should have never called up Ryan Graves, because his AHL production was not good.
Well, and his AHL play was not good.
Agreed.
Which was the thing that didn't make any sense. Ryan Graves' entire success never made sense.
Yep.
Just like it just came out of nowhere. It worked really well. And now it's more of a struggle, but the guy's still doing his thing.
Yep. Agreed. I don't know. And now the Avs are doing things like calling up and giving opportunity to guys like Liam O'Brien, who don't have any track record of AHL production. And yeah, sure, there's a face-punching side to things.
Yeah, like, we get into Liam O'Brien's, or you get into, like, Sheldon Dries, where it's like he hasn't even been that good in the AHL.
Yep.
He had the one great playoff run when he was in Texas, and he's never really replicated that success.
Yep. It's... People, and I see this argument in chat, but people are talking about them having time, but this, at a certain point, you're gonna get what you develop. Martin Kaut has played professional hockey since the age of 17. He knows what he's doing. He's shown the ability to play at the NHL level. If you want to get an NHL player out of guys, guess what? You have to play them in the NHL at some point.
Yeah.
If you want an AHL player, leave him in the AHL forever. And that's how you get a TJ Tynan. They'll be great AHL players, but if you're never in the NHL, you're never going to learn how to play at the NHL level.
Yep. It's the world. The world does not... Like, there are guys that come up. I mean, Devon Toews is a great example. He played like 5 years in the AHL.
Yep. But long-form developers are not the norm.
Like, Devon Toews is a story because of that.
Yep.
You also see those guys, and this is the thing we haven't talked about with Toews because nobody wants to talk about it. Because why would you while it's still going great right now? But guys like that usually also have really short careers.
Yeah,
they remember
the league in their prime, and that's that. Like,
you remember P.A. Parenteau? Like, yep. He had a long AHL career, was really successful, got into the NHL, had a couple of really good years in top sixes in New York and Colorado, and was basically done in the league by 31.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, but at least, like, in Kaut's place, you don't draft first-round guys with a, he's 4 years out mantra.
Like, yeah, you don't draft a lower-ceiling player out of Europe and drop him in the AHL right away and say, okay, well, we'll see this guy in 4 years.
Yeah,
that's not what you do. It's just not how teams operate.
It doesn't make sense to operate that way.
But, part of the appeal of Martin Kaut on draft day was he'll get to the league quicker. Like, he may not have the highest ceiling, but he'll get to the league quicker, and he'll be a good, he'll be a good middle six option for you. I mean, the crazy part is we aren't even talking about Martin Kaut like taking Andrei Burakovsky's job or something. We are talking strictly about Martin Kaut as a guy to come in and play on the wing on your third line mostly and produce 30 points. This isn't like banging down the door here of expectations. And if they get more than that, we'll be thrilled. The Avs will be thrilled. Cal will be thrilled. He's such an awesome dude that everybody is going to love that situation. But until something like that actually happens, like, it's just...
Well, and that's what we've talked about before.
Low expectations that we have here, and they're not even giving him a shot at those.
I feel like there's this mistake of perception that the Avs don't want Kaut to play a role on their fourth line because he's not what it's meant for him in the NHL. And that whole concept is nonsense to me, because Kaut would be just fine on a fourth line.
Yeah. Kaut, part of the appeal of Martin Kaut as a player is that his skill set is so versatile. And he's such a smart player. He will adapt to his surroundings. That's the appeal of him as a middle six guy. A guy that jumps up and he could play on your second line. He might be your sixth best forward in your top six, but he won't be an anchor. He wouldn't actively hold that thing back. You know, and then, you know, if you want him on the fourth line, he can do that. He can grit. He can grind. He can dump pucks in and go chase people.
I think the most damning evidence of it is that he's already done it. He did it for nine games last year.
He scored 3 points. He was basically their highest scoring call-up last year.
He was, full stop.
Nine, like, everybody loves Logan O'Connor, and Logan O'Connor had, what, 1 point last year, 2 points last year?
2 points last
year. He had two goals last year. And Martin Cote had 3 points in nine games. Logan O'Connor had, like, two goals in 17.
Yep.
And everybody loves O'Connor. Like, rightfully so. Like,
O'Connor's an NHLer, for sure. I'm not trying to deny that at all. But you look at the Avs lineup and you have to question every single night of, are they icing the best roster they could be without Martin Cote in it?
Yep.
And that's reality.
And I think the answer continues to be no. They have no contractual reason. And look, if this is them wanting to rotate guys in and out, they want to get a look at them, fine. But at some point, Martin Cote's one game with 6 minutes of ice time is not going to be him getting a look.
Yeah. There's no, they're not saving Cote for the playoffs. No coach in history is going to play a dude in the playoffs that he wasn't willing to play in the regular season.
Yeah.
Unless he absolutely has to. Anyway. We can take our second period break there.
We just need to change our podcast to Free Martin Cote.
There you go. You're listening to the Free Cote podcast.
That's right.
Brought to you by Green Mountain Dental Group, the best damn family dentist in the Denver metro area. You can check them out 15 minutes from downtown Denver over in Lakewood. They do amazing work. We've had a bunch of people switch over to them and say it's one of the best dental experiences they've ever had. When you schedule a cleaning, x-ray, and exam, they'll hook you up with a free Sonicare toothbrush. So get on it today and get those teeth checked out. Also brought to you by Hassle Cattle Company. We got damn good dentists, damn good beer, and now we got damn good beef as well. They're hooking you up with all sorts of amazing meats, but most well known for their blue collar Wagyu, the Wagyu for every man and woman in the United States. You can get 10% off when you use discount code DNVR10 at checkout. They have a bunch of amazing stuff. Go look at all their meats. There's enough good stuff for everyone there. And if you spend over $200, you get free shipping as well. So you can just load up, get your meat for the month, put that stuff in the freezer, and you'll be good to go. Finally, we are also brought to you by Zoom Care. We know you don't like going to the doctor, so don't go to the doctor. Just do it from home. It's that easy. You can use Zoom Care to take your annual doctor visit or any other doctor visit that you don't feel comfortable going in for, and they will be able to talk to you, get your symptoms, and diagnose you. You don't have to wait for an appointment. You don't have to sit in the doctor's office. You just schedule it. You show up on your laptop, on your tablet, on your computer, however you want to do it, from zoomcare.com, and you get it done. It's that easy. Zoomcare, ZOOMCARE.com. Head on over there. Be sure to let them know DNVR sent you. Super easy. Best way to go to the doctor. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Rudo and AJ coming at you. Are we done? Are we done ranting about this? Do we want to talk about actual draft a little bit?
I don't know how we keep ending up back on this topic. We have, like, our show topics are whatever they are, and then somehow it circles back around to
the chat always gets into the Cote conversation, and then here we go again. This is kind of what happens. But
I can just picture that one dude on Reddit who's just like, oh God, here we go.
But what about his expansion draft eligibility, AJ?
I sent Kale a picture for that.
Did he really?
Yeah.
Amazing. Okay. Well, I don't know if we have it or not, but in the meantime,
I think I even titled it LOL.
good work. I'm proud of you.
I tell you.
What Yeah, have we talked about the draft lottery changes on the show?
I don't think so.
So, oh yeah, there we go. Perfect. I love how they don't even have a picture of his face, but they know that he's exempt from the NHL.
P.S. that's my profile header on Twitter. So anytime anybody clicks on my profile, that's what they see.
That right next to the name AJ Shamefully.
That's right. It's
a piece of artwork right there. So the NHL is changing their draft lottery this year. It's a two-phase thing. So this year, the only change is they're dropping the number of teams in the lottery from 3 to 2.
Lame.
I think they should just remove the lottery entirely, but I know I'm in the minority there, so it's fine.
Lame. The lottery rocks.
Next year, the following, not the 2021 draft, but the 2022 draft, they're reintroducing the 10-spot rule.
Lame.
Which you can only go up 10 spots. So if the, 16th team that just missed the playoffs wins the lottery, they'll draft 6th.
Yeah, remember one of my favorite fun facts is, we talk all about how Jersey won the expansion or won the lotteries to get Jack Hughes and Nico Hischier, but they also won the Landeskog draft lottery.
Yep.
And that's how they ended up 4th in that to pick Adam Larson. So I think the lotto was fun, but I think these changes are stupid and they suck. I definitely think the lotto needed changing, though. I would have restricted it to the bottom 7 teams.
Yep.
And then I would have left it at 3 spots and let them all move wherever they're going to move. I think that, because that way there's an element of fun to it. But now that poor little Detroit got screwed in the draft lottery last year, we have to make the changes. It happens twice to Colorado. Nobody gives a shit about it, but it happens once to the Red Wings, and Steve Yzerman freaks out and is like, unacceptable.
The Evs did win the MacKinnon lottery to move up a whopping 1 spot.
Yeah, there's a solid chance they end up with Nathan MacKinnon, even if they don't win that lottery.
Yep. So, we've talked about it on the show before. I'm a fan of no lottery at all and fine with tanking. AJ wants the golden rule system or whatever it's called.
Oh, the gold plan, where eliminated teams accrue points, and then whoever accrues the most points, that's how the... Because that way, you don't need a draft lot, you don't need a lotto system, and you incentivize teams to continue to win throughout the season. The gold plan is the perfect plan, in my opinion. It's all about winning, and it doesn't involve teams rooting against their own team. It doesn't involve that weird fan thing where you're like, it's the 82nd game of the season. If they win a game, they drop 3 spots in the lotto. I'm rooting for them to lose. You should never be in a spot to root for your franchise to lose. It's just so weird.
I'm okay with it. Obviously, in hindsight, getting Cale McCarr is pretty fine.
Like, it's fine, but like they lost the lottery. Like, they did, and the fact that they made the best of that situation, great. They did it with Byram too. But I'm telling you, there's an alternate universe where Jack Hughes is an Av and Nazem Kadri isn't, and we don't know what happens with Tyson Barrie at that point. But they have an absolutely crazy pants electric lineup because Jack Hughes is 2C.
Yeah, and you have to think, remove hindsight and think back to when the Avs lost that lottery after the 16-17 season. I mean, that's the lowest point in franchise history by a lot.
You have a 48-point season and you drop from 1st to 4th in the draft order. It was such a dick punch to the entire fan base.
Yep. Straight up. Well, the Avs won't have to worry about any lottery things anytime soon, by the looks of it.
Well, not this year. We'll see about next year.
Certainly not this year. That's fair. look, what draft strategy can we even really talk about for the Avs as it stands? Because they have their first round pick, but the expectation is that's going to come relatively, if not extremely late in the first round.
So first thing that I'll start here, should they keep it?
I would say yes, only because they don't have a second for the next 2 years.
But I mean, in this draft in particular.
I know the super weak draft class, the complete nonsense of scouting this year.
Right. Like that you're throwing a dart at a kid that the majority of your information is coming on him is 2 years old.
So that's fair. I guess I should say, what is the return here? Are you moving a first for a small piece and getting like a second rounder back next year or something?
I'm moving a first for a player after the expansion draft has happened.
I see. So like someone that can be on your roster for the foreseeable future.
Look, if we know Seattle is going to load up on defensemen and then trade those guys back to, they're going to filter those guys out. If there's one that Colorado really, really likes, maybe just grab one of the guys that Seattle takes in expansion and trade a super late first round pick for one of those defensemen.
My problem there is that we've seen it happen to a bunch of teams where the cupboards get empty really, really quick.
Yeah. Well, and the Avs are in danger of that because of the seconds.
Right.
You know, they had no second last year. They've got no seconds for the next 2 years. Newhook and Sampo Ranta and Bowers and Kaut and Annanen, all of these guys are already in pro hockey. They're already in the AHL now.
Yep.
Justin Barron is AHL eligible next year. And so if he jumps to the AHL, then Connor Timmins is already in the AHL. Then at that point, you're looking at your cupboard and of prospects and you're saying, who are the guys we're excited about who are not in pro hockey already?
Right.
It's like Drew Helison and Jean-Luc Foudy.
And Jean-Luc Foudy is kind of in pro hockey right now.
And yeah, but he won't be next year.
I know. Well, honestly, I think there's a conversation about exemptions there, but that's a different topic entirely.
Yeah. Well, and then it's like, what then?
Right. What's next? Because the reality of the future of the Avalanche is after McKinnon signs
the mega
his huge deal, whatever it ends up being, is the Avs are going to have to try and keep their window open with ELC type contracts.
Yeah.
And if you're giving away first round picks, that gets harder and harder to do now.
Sure. This is for the record. It is only this year that I am advocating this. And it is only because I think there's a chaos of the draft.
Yeah.
Exactly. There's a better chance you screw this pick up and then you don't end up, but you end up less excited about whoever they take in the first round than you are about Colby Ambrosio right now.
Well, I was already hyped on Colby Ambrosio. So.
Right. But but 2 years from now, where are we going to be? Hopefully really excited.
Yeah, that's true.
Hopefully having the Johnny Gaudreau conversation about him. But until that point, I totally understand the idea of if you move this first, you're essentially punting on this year's draft. They're pretty close to it anyway. But
they already don't have a second, fourth, or sixth. Right. So
they're already close. And at this point, wouldn't you rather just move it for if it's not going to be a summer deal, move it for Kyle Palmieri?
No.
Bolster your
move it for Kyle Palmieri.
Then Matthias Ekholm or you know what I mean?
I would do it. Sure.
Move it for a guy that helps you, that significantly helps you win the cup this year.
Those are the right words. The stance I've always taken as far as a deadline deal is if you move your first round pick, you better win.
Yeah. I mean, it's a huge gamble, and normally I am really not down with it. I don't love. I'm too draft oriented. I'm too picks are valuable. You've got to do what you've got to do. But moving that first round pick, see, the goalie thing, no. Like,
you don't need to spend a first on a goalie, right?
That's the thing. Like, if you want to spend a first on a goalie over the summer,
even then,
and watch Grubauer walk, that's a conversation I am open to entertaining.
The Avs have found ways to get quality goaltending by not giving up firsts. They got Grubauer for a second. They had to take on some cap too, but
yeah, well, and they won't. That's why they won't be able to repeat that trick.
You're not wrong.
But I'm just saying, like, I don't even want them to use a first this year because I don't want anything to do with this draft class. You're throwing as blind a dart as you ever have. And it's already really hard to project 17 and 18 year old kids into 23 year olds.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the play, as Chad has mentioned, maybe the play is just send them the first round pick so that they take Eric Johnson and then use that $6 million in free agency.
Keep Saad or whoever, yeah.
Yeah, keep Saad or, you know, do whatever they're going to do, right? Just as long as they spend that money and they use it on a legit upgrade. Like, maybe that's the play. Your first round pick is essentially moved for cap space. Okay, well, as long as you use that cap space well, and this is a front office that I absolutely trust to do that, then I think, you know, fine.
Yeah, I'm never comfortable with the idea of entirely punting on a draft.
It's only this year. This is the only time I've ever felt that way in my whole life.
I can't even bring myself to want to do it this year. I know there's a lot of RNG factors there, but even then.
Fine. Because they've done so well in the third round, keep your third round pick and try and roll a 20.
All right. I don't know about that being enough, but I will agree with you. Look, if a deal that makes you a significantly better team comes into your lap, you have to, at very least, seriously consider it. You can't just walk away from that because of the reality of, in a normal draft year, especially because realistically we're talking about the Avs very likely picking 25 or later, almost no matter what.
Yeah. Well, and if the season were to finish today, they would be no later than
27.
Yeah. Or I'm sorry, no earlier than 27. They would have, it would be the 27th pick or lower, depending on how things went. So, look, if you're
actually, no, it'd be 28, right? Because Seattle's coming in.
Yeah, I was accounting for that. The bottom four picks being the final four. So,
29, 30, 31, 32. 28.
Yeah, okay. Yep, you're right. 28.
Live math on stream with DNVR.
Why I'm a writer, part 4000.
In any case, yeah, it's the next couple of years of first round picks are going to be the lowest value first round picks the Avs have had in a long, long
time. Yeah, I mean, I don't even want to get into that because there's no guarantee of anything that happens for future success. Everybody, I always use Tampa as the great example here. In the middle of all of Tampa's dominance over the last decade, they randomly missed the postseason, and that's how they end up with Cal Foote. You know, like, it just, those things happen. San Jose had a run of absolute dominance and excellence, randomly falls out of the playoffs one year and gets Timo Meier.
And
so those things happen.
Like, I'm not.
So don't trade future first.
I'm not saying trade your 2022 first, but I'm saying every season, maybe it does become an expendable piece at the deadline if things go the way people think they're going to go.
I think if, just reacting to Sergeant Pickles here, I think if Seattle was offered a first-round pick to take Eric Johnson on, it would be no problem, especially if there's no guarantee that EJ would be able to play. Yeah, and that they could
100% be LTIR'd even.
Yeah, they could if they LTIR that. Otherwise, that contract is not that onerous. 2 years at $6 million after this year is not that big of a deal.
If you're
especially when you're a franchise, an expansion franchise that has all the room in the world to build, you take that free first round pick immediately.
If you're insanely cap strapped after the first year, you buy him out and it's just $2 million for the next 2 years. Like,
yep, it's just too, it's too easy for a franchise with wiggle room to find a way to make it work.
Yep.
And nobody has more wiggle room than a team that has an empty cap sheet.
Yeah. You would be extremely hard pressed to put Seattle anywhere near the cap in their first season. It would take some doing, to say the least.
Yeah, I remember, you know, when we did ours, we hit the cap with 30 NHL players.
Yeah. Seven of those dudes won't be on the roster.
Yeah.
So
that's where you build up all future picks. All the future, the cache of picks is cupping. Like,
yep.
Seattle's going to be drowning in, and I did not think it was going to happen the same way as it was with Vegas, but because of the flat cap, everybody is desperate to get money off their books, and Seattle can just bathe in a bukkake of picks.
Oh, I wish there was a Manscaped read today.
I'm glad there's not.
All right.
Andy's too busy looking great. Facts.
Facts. No argument against that conversation. Are we good? Have we shouted out our draft plan? All right. On that note, I guess, I mean, look. The draft is very much something on the back burner for the Avs right now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's just they have a goal in front of them before both of these drafts that is significantly more important. And if they do that, nobody's going to care what happens in expansion and the entry draft. So, you know, other things on their mind.
I tell you, I'm really bummed. We're going to miss tonight's Eagles games. None of the new guys.
Not even Newhook. It's so sad.
I know. Like, but they've got, what, six? I think they're on tonight is the start of a 6-game homestand.
Mm-hmm.
So by the end of that, all those guys should be around.
I hope so. I'd like, if Newhook's not here by the weekend, I'll be sad.
If Ranta's not here by the weekend, I'll be sad. Those quarantines are not supposed to be that long for these guys. But different rules, and depending on how they got here and whatever, I don't know.
Yep, that pretty much sums it up. I will say it's a great time once all these guys get here to watch the Eagles. Anyway, yeah, there'll be a new vid shortly for the trade deadline. Be sure to like and subscribe to this video. If you're subscribed with the bell notification, you'll know when we post that vid, which should be within the hour here after we're done on the pod. Anyway, thank you everyone for watching, listening, however you consume the podcast. We appreciate all of y'all, and game tomorrow night. So I suppose we will talk to you on the podcast then.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Linus Olmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between, and we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.